All right. So good morning, everybody. Today we're going to finish out our series, This Is Us. This Is Us. I'm excited. What a great series this was. I have been just encouraged teaching through this and sharing with you the things that we want to be about as a church. And honestly, there's things that we talked about that we do really well. And then there's things that we could still grow in. And that's fine. But we believe God is calling us to be His hands and feet. God is calling us to live out these characteristics that we've touched on. We want to be a serving people. We want to be people that grow in our faith and mature in Christ. We want to be strong disciple makers, right? We want to be people that are committed to prayer and are just a praying church and are covering people through prayer, seeking God's face and direction for us. All the while understanding it all happens in a context of love. And in a context of grace, and may His Spirit be upon us so that we're genuine with one another, so that we're in a real, authentic, genuine relationship as we fellowship and commune with each other. We want to help each other grow. We want to help each other experience new life and help us all find God's kingdom best for us. Let me say it this way. We want to live a life that leaves a kingdom impact far after we have left this earth, far after we are gone from here, that our work would leave a kingdom impact. That's what we want to be about. This is us, right? And so today we're going to finish out our series on a topic that often gets equated with money, right? And we're going to talk about money a little bit, but the topic is stewardship. So money is a big part of that, but it's not the only part. And so the question for us this morning is going to be, how can we be good stewards of all that God has given us? All that God has given you and me. How do we live our lives in such a way that how we live makes an impact on other people's lives? Well, one of the things that describes journey very accurately, and I pray would describe journey going forward, is generosity. Generosity. So that's what we're going to talk about today, generosity. Because at the end of the day, we're going to be known for something, right? People are talking about you. People are talking about me. People are talking about us. Whether it's good or bad, they're saying stuff. So let's not have it be about our theology or our worship style. I would love for it if at the end of the day, man, I'm not sure if I agree necessarily with that church. I'm not sure if I believe all of their theology. I'm not really sure about this Jesus thing, but I am so glad that they're everywhere. I mean, that church is everywhere touching people's lives. They're just out in the community blessing everybody. They're providing for the poor. They're providing for the needy. They're helping people in the community. Everywhere you look, there they are. There are Journey people all over the place. And we should be known for our generosity. And I'll show you why in a minute. It's because we want to show the love of Jesus in real practical ways. Right? We want to love like Jesus. Well, what does that look like? I'm going to help you get there this morning, hopefully. So here's what we're going to do. I want to give you kind of a foundational verse. It's going to kick off this morning. And then we're going to do kind of a verse-by-verse passage breakdown, kind of a little Bible study this morning. And then we're going to extrapolate from that a couple of takeaway things that I see there that are just going to be practical, fun ways to just be a blessing and to learn how we can be generous people. You guys with me? All right, here we go. 1 Timothy 6:17, 19 is where we're going to start. It's actually written not to a church, but to a pastor, right? And Timothy was a pastor, and the Apostle Paul, who was kind of his mentor, is writing to him and saying, hey, Pastor Timothy, I want you to tell your congregation this. I want your people, the church, to know this. So he starts off by saying, command. He actually uses that word twice. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, right? We've seen that reality in the news a lot, where people are putting their hope in wealth and it doesn't end well, right? Which is so uncertain, right? But check this out. Put your faith, their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Verse 18, he says, command, there it is again the second time, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. So instead of having impressive stock portfolios, right? Instead of having these big bank accounts, command them to be rich in how they treat people, how they treat others. Those are the good deeds that he's talking about here. And to be generous and willing to share. So we want you to command them. We want you to focus them from time to time to show them how important it is to live their lives in a generous way, right? And watch what happens next. Two things actually happens when you live this way. And in verse 19, in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. All right, now notice that the motivation that the Bible uses for you to be generous and to love people and have good deeds is that you get a credit, if you will, in your account in heaven. Well, wait a minute, Adrian. I thought that heaven and was a free gift, right? And we just get that and because of Jesus. And now you're telling us that we have to do all this stuff to earn? No. I want to be very clear. This is not a heaven and a hell issue, right? You will spend eternity in heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross, nothing more. But it's very clear that after you get there, there is some type of reward system. Jesus talked about it, and he laid it out all throughout Scripture. So lay up for yourselves a firm foundation for the coming age. And here's the second one. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So that they may take hold of life. In other words, you will really discover for the first time what life is really all about. In fact, I found a cool quote this week from John Bunyan, which I really wanted to share with you, and it goes like this. You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who could not repay you. You never really truly discover what life is all about until you do something that impacts the life of another person in a phenomenal way. And it's a big deal in the Bible, right? So if we were to do a teaching series or messages based on the number of times it's written in the Bible, there would be like 3 to 4 series that we would roll out just on this topic alone. Because here's how it lays out in the Bible. The word believe, which we think that, man, that's a big deal, right? To have a belief is used actually 272 times in Scripture. The word pray, that's a foundational issue, right? Pray, we're to pray, we're praying people, 371 times. The word love, I mean, that's the foundation of all the Scripture. That's Jesus. That he just loved, right? Well, that is used 714 times. But the word give is used 2,161 times in the Bible. Well, why is that? Well, because at the heart of it, that's what God is all about. You see, at the heart of it, it's really the verb of the Bible. The subject is God. The object is us, which he loved. But God so loved us that he, come on, gave, right? He gave. The whole Bible is really about this generous God who's impacted all of our lives. And somewhere along the way, when you're on the receiving end of this generosity, what happens is that you become the fruit of it. In other words, you become a generous person. Okay. In fact, one of the verses out of the 21,000 verses goes like this. Psalm 37:21, the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly, they are marked by something. There is something that marks the godly, and that is they are generous givers, generous givers. One verse, Proverbs, even goes so far to say that the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others, watch this, something happens on the inside of those people. Something changes on the inside. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed, which means that the motivation for me bringing this message to you today, what we want to be about is that I want that for you. That's my desire. That's my prayer for you. In fact, some of you may hear this message and think, oh my, what's the catch here? What is he going to do? He's definitely got a special collection at the end of service, right? He's going to take an offering, right? I'm a bit skeptical. What's going on? What are you going to talk about? Man, I knew I should have slept in this morning, and my aunt called me last night to go over, but I said, no, I got to go to church, and I probably should have gone to my aunt's house, right? So I'm going to put your mind at ease this morning, all right, and let you know that we're not doing any of that. We're not going to take an offering, but I do want to tell you this from the bottom of my heart, and I'm really, as somebody was sharing this morning after service, man, thank you for sharing that, because we really didn't know. You have been the most generous and graceful people that we've experienced this year. And so we budget every year, our church budget, based on your generosity. And if possible, we do a small increase in our budget percentage based on the previous year to kind of keep up with inflation and your giving. But man, you have far out exceeded that this year. So this morning, we just want to say thank you. We just want to say thank you. And God bless you. And I love that. I love the fact that ministry can happen freely in this place, and it doesn't have to be hindered in any way because of money, right? And I'm bringing you this message today because when you grab a hold of this concept of generosity, it blesses you. It refreshes you. And that's my goal for you today. So I love doing this kind of verse-by-verse teaching and taking scripture and just breaking it down and getting the biblical concepts and content and helping you understand what is actually going on. So that's what we're going to do this morning. But I want to set it up first before we go there, right? So there are two chapters in the book of 2 Corinthians that speak about this concept that I want to talk to you about. Now, the Corinthians church was a church that originated in Corinth, which is modern-day South Central Greece. That's just kind of cool, South Central Greece, right? And Paul had planted a church there and wrote these letters to that church. And this is the second letter, or the second Corinthian letter. And there are two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, that speak all about generosity. Now, we're not going to be able to touch both chapters. We're going to look at the first 12 verses in chapter 8, but we'll reference and jump around to chapter 9. But this second letter that he wrote really gives what I'm calling the motivation for generosity. And I think that that's the place to begin. So at the end of the day, if you are going to join us, if you're not going to be involved in all of this, I want you to understand this, and I'm going to make this clear. The real reason we're involved in generosity is not because we want to get something from God, right? You do not give to get. Can I get a better amen on that one, right? But this gets preached all the time, right? And I don't think it's the right way to interpret the scriptures. We do it for a different reason, right? And the passage shows us rather clearly. That's what I'm going to set up for us this morning. Now, Paul planted these churches all across what is today modern day Turkey, and he planted all these beautiful churches, the church at Philippi, and that's where you get the book of Philippians, the church at Ephesus, and that's where you get the book of Ephesians, and he loved planting churches. That's what an apostle does, right? He plants churches. So anytime you see the word apostle, it's basically a church planter. So Paul has this passion for planting churches, but Paul has a deep devotion and love for the mothership of all churches, and that is the church in Jerusalem. And he felt like it was very important for all the churches to really, who are the benefactor of this great church that was launched. It was where Jesus came from, right? It was where the gospel got preached, and that's where that came from. For all these churches that he planted, to really give an offering to the church in Jerusalem. So he had already warned the church of Corinth, hey, look, I'm coming to you one day, plan on it, take your time, pray about it, think about it, but one day I'm coming to collect an offering, right, that we're going to give to the church in Jerusalem. And he's writing about this to remind them. Now, what I want you to notice as we unpack this scripture is notice the language that Paul uses, because throughout his discussion to the Corinthians, he gives us this passionate plea and appeals to this internal motivation that should be driving our generosity. And he gets really to the heart of the matter of why we give. And as we pursue what God has called us as a church to do, as we continue to go and share and be all that God has created us to be, I want to make sure that we as Journey Community Church really understand the motivation and get this internally and do these things for the right reasons. All right. So here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. So follow with me. And it says this, and now I'm going to read and then we'll do some color commentary in the meantime. And then we're going to extrapolate some points. All right, here we go. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Now, the Macedonian churches were namely the church at Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. So that's the group of churches that he's referencing, but he's calling it the Macedonian church. But I want to time out here and show you this word grace, because there's two things that is really important for you to catch here. The word grace here is not the word like amazing grace, where, you know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's not what the word actually is here. This is the Greek word charis, which means gift. So it's an internal ability that wells up inside of you. And Paul is saying, hey, look, I want to remind you of this grace that's inside the Macedonian church. What he's doing is provoking the Corinthian church to a little bit of competition, right? We'll catch this in a minute. A little bit of jealousy. He starts off saying, hey, let me tell you how generous this other church really is. So they would go like, really? Really? What? What? What are they about? What are they doing? Because the Corinthian church was probably the wealthiest church that Paul had planted at the time. Now, these other churches that I just mentioned were probably the poorest churches at the time. So he says, verse 2, in the midst of a very severe trial, so they're really under pressure, right? This, the idea here is that they're like crushed by life, right? They're really struggling. Their overflowing joy, watch this, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, let me tell you right off the bat that only God can make these two words come together in the same sentence, right? Only God can make you be full of joy while you're going through extreme poverty. All right. And I love that. But Paul is saying that let me just tell you something. These guys are fired up about sharing. And even though they were the poorest church that I planted, and look what happens. They welled up. I just love the language there. They're welled up in rich generosity. And verse 3, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. So they had an ability and they gave beyond that, right? So Corinthians, I want you to know that basically they blew us away, right? They just have overwhelmed us when they gave their offering, because I know what they could do, but they went beyond what they were capable and did an absurd amount more, right? And in fact, they utterly, urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. In other words, we tried to talk them out of it, right? We told them, hey, look, no, it's okay. You're the poorest churches out of all of these. So if anyone gets a pass, it's you guys, right? Look, let the other churches do it. But no, they pleaded with us, right? This Macedonian pleads with Paul, let us do this. We want to be a part of this. And Paul is telling them about this. He's telling the Corinthian church about them so that they can understand the heart and the passion that this church has towards generosity, the spirit that was in the Macedonian churches. And I love this. And they exceeded their expectations. They gave, watch this, it's my favorite part, they gave themselves. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So they were not just writing checks, right? They were not just putting out money in the offering bucket. No, they wanted to go beyond that, and they gave of themselves. So I want to be very clear right here, very clear. Generosity, listen, is not about money, right? Generosity is about a lifestyle, right? It's about your time. It's about your treasure. It's about your resources. It's about the smiles that you give. It's about the hugs that you do, the high fives, the fist bumps. It's about your passion and energy. It's like, everywhere you go, you just give encouragements and you just give hugs and you send text messages and you bring Krispy Kreme donuts to your office just because, right? Write that down, Jason. Right? You just are thinking generously, right? You're living generously. You give your time, you give your ideas, you give your passion, you're giving your whole life. So they gave themselves first to the Lord, which is the proper place to give yourself, and then by the will of God, to us. So verse 6, so we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. So they send Titus, the guy who would go around and do kind of like the follow-up and collect the offering from them. So we urge Titus regarding this gift of grace. In other words, I'm going to send him and he's going to come back and I want you to respond. And then notice, again, the competition that he stirs up, right? Verse 7, but since you excel in everything. In other words, Corinthians, you guys are basically the best church that I've planted, right? You excel in your speech. You excel in your knowledge. You excel in complete earnestness, in love that we kindled in you. See to it now also that you excel in giving, right? So notice the internal motivation, right? The grace. See to it that you excel in this grace of giving. And I love this next part, verse 8. I'm not commanding you, right? I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the eagerness of others, right? In other words, if you ever get to the place, listen to me very clearly, where this is an obligation, where you feel guilt and you feel like you're just putting pressure on me to give, then don't do it, right? Paul is saying, look, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test something on the inside of you, your sincerity, by comparing it to the other group that just blew us away. And then verse 9, he gives us the real motivation. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Here's the real reason why we serve. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. I love that. If you think about that for a second, think about Jesus, right? He was in heaven. He was seated on the throne. He was walking around on gold streets. There were gates of pearls. He lived in complete luxury. Yet for your sakes, he emptied himself. He was born in a stable. It was basically a feeding trough, if you will. He became poor so that you, through his poverty, can become rich. Which, by the way, this passage gets mistaught all the time by pastors, to which I believe, personally, it's the wrong teaching. Because they will argue, see, there it is, Pastor. We're meant to be rich. God died on a cross and we're going to be rich, right? And you want to be rich? Well, that's what Jesus came to do. Well, that's not what it's saying at all, right? What it's saying is that Jesus was the example of taking the wealth that he had and emptying himself, right? Well, why? Why, Jesus? Why would you do that? So that he can make the lives of those around him better, right? So that he can be a blessing to those around him. And you better do the same now in return. You see, that's the proper teaching of this passage. And I want to stop and say this to you right now, that you have been the most gracious and kind people and have overwhelmed us with your generosity this year. And this is why we feel so free to be a blessing to others, to just give, to bless people through the pantry. We can just empty out the pantry because we want to be a blessing to all those around us, through the various ministries that we're involved in, through the benevolence fund that we're a part of, through our ministry to Five Rock. We can just bless Five Rock abundantly and other ministries and opportunities that arise. We just want to be a blessing, and we can do that. And that's phenomenal. So verse 10, he finishes out, and this here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to work, to have the desire to do so. Now finish, right? So finish what you started. Keep going in what God has called you to do so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it. Again, notice the internal motivation that's at work to make it matched by your completion of it according to your means. And here it is, the last verse. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. In other words, if you get the heart right, then God loves it, right? If you're giving with the right heart, which means that God is more interested in your attitude than he is in the amount that you're giving, right? Get your heart right before God. That's what God is after, the heart. It's not the amount. It's the attitude with which you give. So now I'm just going to extrapolate the things that I see out of this text, and we're going to have some fun and get into some practical things about what he's saying here, all right? And I'm going to jump around a little bit in chapter 8, and then we're going to reference some things out of chapter 9 to really help us understand the true attitude of generosity, what that looks like. Number one, we're going to give joyfully. Give joyfully. Give joyfully. In other words, we're going to have fun doing it, right? We're going to have fun. The Macedonians gave beyond their ability, Paul said, and the result of that was joy. They had joy, and we want you to experience that same joy as you give. So if you look in your worship folder, you're going to find a little card. It's like a little business card. It just looks just like this. And what it says on it, it says something a little extra to show you that Jesus loves you, that Jesus loves you, right? Jesus loves you is in big letters. So we encourage you to take this with you, to take handfuls of this if you want, and just be an encouragement to others. Just go around blessing others, right? Even today, as you may go to lunch and you know, you're going to tip your waiter, give her a huge, massive tip just because you want to be generous and you want to be a blessing, and then give her this card, right? And say, hey, Jesus loves you, right? Or when you go tomorrow and you're going to work and you're buying a Starbucks latte, right? And the person next to you is a little disgruntled and he's kind of in a hurry and say, hey, I want to buy that person this coffee and I'm going to bless him. And can you please give him this card after he comes up? And he's just going to find it. Wow, Jesus loves you, right? Look into my eyes. Just look up here for a second. What would it cost? What is it worth to you to tell people that Jesus loves them, right? Is it worth a $4 latte? Right? To just be a blessing, to just try it and see if joy doesn't well up in your spirit, right? Just go above and beyond, bless people, be kind to somebody in your neighborhood, something, anything around your week, but never do it random, right? Never do just acts of kindness random. Always connect it back to God. Always connect it back to our source of wealth, right? So use this tool, use this as a resource to bless people. We're actually creating a link on our website that people can click on and just tell us their story about how God blessed them. And somebody blessed me this week with that idea. It's just fabulous, right? So we're going to click on there and we want to hear people's stories. And we're expecting people to just say, hey, I was really in need of that. And somebody just gave me this card and it just blessed my day. That's awesome. I remember a friend was sharing a story and he was buying some groceries. And in front of him was a family who was buying groceries at the check stand, and their EBT card had run out. And so now the lady only has a certain amount. And so now they're trying to parse out what they can pay. And okay, how much is that? And how much is this? And so they're trying to kind of shift and move this. And the kids are there. And at one point, the kid says, no, not my cereal. I love that cereal, my Crunch Fruity Pebbles or whatever it was, right? And the guy, this guy just, my buddy just gets so overwhelmed. And he says, hey. He looks at the register and says, hey, I'll pick that up. Whatever it is, all of it, I'll just pay for it. I just want to be a blessing. And that family turns to him and says, really? You're going to do that? Yeah, I'm going to do that. And you know why? Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you. And that's it. That's it. And that family was just overwhelmed and they started tearing and thank you so much. And this guy comes back and he's like, man, do you know the joy that I have right now? I just want to go do that more. I just want to have fun. It is just so awesome to be a blessing for others. You see, there is joy in doing things like that. And I want you to find that joy. In fact, here's what Jesus himself said. Look at this in Acts 20. It is more blessed to give than to receive, right? Now, I know the word blessed sounds all Christian and all holy, right? But you know what that word really is? It's makairos in the Greek. And it really means happy, right? Like the happiest person I know is the person who is the most generous. It's more happy. There is an internal joy when you just give rather than when you receive. Right? Here's another one in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. We'll talk about that in a second. But look at this. For God loves a, say it with me, cheerful giver, a cheerful giver. Do you know what the original for cheerful is? Hilarion. It's hilarious. That's where we get the word hilarious from. I know, right? Which means, wasn't that just awesome? Wasn't that fun? God likes it when you have that kind of attitude towards generosity. I'll give you one more. Proverbs 21:26. Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly, watch this, love to give. Love to give. There's a Wall Street Journal article that you can Google and check it out. I encourage you to read it. It's called Hardwired for Giving. Hardwired for Giving. A few years ago, a reporter did an article on something that just blew them away. They can't understand it. And in this article, this author talks about how we don't really get this because Darwin always believed that evolution proves that what's built inside of a person is the survival of the fittest. Right? And always look out for number one. Always look out for yourself. And they cannot figure out why people are so generous all the time. So they did this study. It was a long study. It was really well written. And they got some MDs involved. And there's actually a chemical, listen to this, that is released in your brain that gives off the sensation of pleasure whenever you do something kind for someone else. And it just kind of gives me shivers every time I say that. You know why? There is a God who is generous, who put that in your brain because he wanted you to enjoy it so he can show his love to the world around you. Amen. Come on, somebody. Are you guys awake this morning? This stuff fires me up, right? Yeah, this stuff just fires me up. Because if you think about it, God created us so complicated and so complex. And he says, wait, just a minute. Let me put something right here in their brain so that there's a chemical that's released that every time they do something generous that makes them enjoy it, right? So we're going to give joyfully. That's just powerful. Now, the second thing I see is the best way to give is to give selflessly. Selflessly. Here it is, 2 Corinthians in the passage we read, verse 5. They exceeded our expectations. How? Well, they gave themselves. They gave themselves. And for me, what I enjoy, why I enjoy living this way, enjoy giving and tithing is because, like, in some ways, I'm giving a part of myself, right? I'm giving me. That's exactly what God did for you and for me. Let me be very clear, right? When God was generous, he did not give you a paycheck. He did not give you money. He actually gave something far greater. He gave himself. He gave the best part of who he was, his only son for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one. For whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. He gave something of himself for you because he knew the joy that he would experience on the back end of giving. You see, this whole text, chapter 8 and chapter 9, and this 2 Corinthians book ends with this one key verse. Watch it, 9:15. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. What gift? What gift? His son. He's given you a piece of himself. See, I was just thinking about this morning how all of us are impacted by the generosity of others, right? Ever think about that? The sweet building that we're in is because somebody at some point gave so we can have this building. Some of us dropped our kids off in the nursery, in the middle school class. Why? Because people have given their times to invest in the lives of your children, to bless your children. You have a worship folder in front of you because somebody gave their time to fill it in and stuff it and print it and make sure it looks pretty. And some of you are still complaining about that, right? But everywhere you are impacted by people giving of themselves. And thank God they decided to do it. I mean, think about this. Think about this. How different would the world have been if Noah would have been like, hey, you know, God, I don't really do boats. I just don't do boats. That's just not my thing. Or I'm sorry. What if David would have said, you know, hey, I really don't do giants, right? I do little people. I do animals, but I just don't do giants, right? Or what if Mary would have said, hey, I just don't do virgin births, Jesus. That's just not my thing. So sorry, I can't do that. Or what if Paul said, I don't do letters, right? Or what if Michelangelo says, hey, I do walls, but I don't do ceilings. Sorry about that, right? Aren't you grateful that 20 years ago, there was a team who launched this church, who had the vision of Journey doing something great for the community? And here we are, benefactors of that. We are recipients of just a few people who made that decision, right? Aren't you grateful that Jesus didn't say, God, I'm sorry, I just don't do crosses, right? This is powerful. They gave of themselves. I want you to understand and get the spirit of this thing, right? We're going to give joyfully. We're going to give selfishly. And then number three, we're going to give willingly. Give willingly. Write this down. Give willingly. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if the willingness, the heart, right? It's about the heart, is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has. In other words, the only reason I'm giving is because I want to, right? That's why. I want to. See, all the time I get asked about this tithing question, right? Well, and here's how it goes. Pastor, isn't tithing something only in the Old Testament? Isn't something that was just back then and we don't have to do that today? Let me be very clear this morning. The answer to that question is yes, it is, which means you don't have to do it. We are not under the law. We are under grace, which means you are not obligated to do that. But when Jesus came, listen to me, he didn't abolish the law. He changed the motivation for it, right? It went from an external obligation to an internal delight. We do not give because we got to. We give because we get to. It's our privilege to give. And I'll show you in the Bible, Matthew 5:17, not on the screen. Do not think I've come to abolish the law, Jesus said, or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. right? Thou shalt not commit adultery is also a law from the Old Testament, right? But I'm not faithful to my wife because a stone tablet tells me that if I cheat on her, I'm going to die and go to hell, right? Honey, I'm sorry. I would run around on you, but there's this tablet, right? And it's etched by the hand of God. No, the motivation has changed. I'm not faithful to my wife because the law tells me not to. I'm faithful to my wife because I love her. I love her, right? I don't give to God because he says, hey, you're doing it. No, I give to God because something inside of me wants to, because I love him and I'm in love with him. I give willingly. Each person is giving out of their heart something they desire to do. In fact, that's why this is called, in the New Testament calls it, grace giving. It's this internal willingness that says, this is just the joy of my life. This is why I exist. This is what I want to do, right? So listen, have fun. Have fun. Be joyful when you give. Be selfless. Give with your time. Give with your energy. Give a huge part of who you are. Give willingly, not because you have to or should to or need to, but give God because you're in love with him. And then finally, the fourth one, give thankfully. Thankfully, right? Every time you show generosity or give an offering or tithe, it's not because you have to, but because you get time. Anytime you do that, for me, it's an expression of worship. It's really an expression of worship. This was why it was really important when we redesigned our giving folder that it had worship right on, plastered huge and bold letters. We always want to highlight and make it a point that giving is about worship. Right, where you're just saying, praise be to God. Thank you, God, for what you have done in our lives. And I return just a portion of my gratitude with what I can, right? Thank you. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you this morning, right? This is the single most important thing for me because I'm still blown away. And take this as you will, and whatever you think of this, I'm just telling you the honest truth. I'm just blown away. First of all, that I'm truly saved, that God would step in and rescue me, and in fact, that he would allow me to do anything close to this. It really just blows my mind, because I know me better than anyone else knows me, right? And it's the most incredible honor in my life that God lets me be a part of what he's doing on this planet. I'm just so grateful for that. Here's a verse that speaks to that. Psalm 116:12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? What shall I give him? What shall I do for him? The answer is nothing. You can't, right? All that I can do is a part of me and somehow use that to express my thanksgiving to God. And the verse that maybe expresses it the best, and you hear people all the time kind of talk about, well, I'm going to give 10% of my money to God, and then I get to keep 90%. Listen, can I just tell you that it all belongs to God? It's all God's anyway, right? All of my time, my kid, the breath in my body, my schedule, my day, everything belongs to God. Look at this, 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. From your hand. See, Moses is instructed, not in your notes, not on the screen there. Moses is instructing the people of Israel when they celebrate the Passover celebration. This is in Exodus 13, verses 14 or 15. He's talking about, hey, whenever you teach your kids and you're doing these celebrations and you're sacrificing the lamb and you're going through all these rituals, and your kids are going to ask, Daddy, why do we do this? Well, then you're going to tell them, right? Hey, son, there was a time when I was in a mud pit. There was a time that we were enslaved in bondage. And then I want you to take down your shirt and I want you to show them the whips on our back about how we were slaves. But then I want you to tell them, but God with an outstretched arm pulled us out and he put our feet on a rock and he gave us new life and he made a covenant relationship with us. And this is the least that we can do, right? This is the least that we can do. And I've tried to be intentional with my son about this. When we're doing something at the office or we're at church or we're just giving as a family and he asks me, Dad, why do we do this? Well, let me tell you something, son. There was a time when I didn't behave this way. There was a day when I didn't act like this. In fact, I was pretty messed up. And so in an age-appropriate way, I kind of let him peek into my life before Jesus. And it was not pretty. But then I tell him, but God reached out with an outstretched arm and pulled me out of the blood pit and blessed me and loved me and gave me something to do in his kingdom. Hey, listen, Levi, listen, everybody. That's the least that I can do. That's the least that we can do. You see, generosity at the heart level says this: God, you have been way too good to us. Way too good to us. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, somebody, that'll preach. I don't care what y'all say, that'll preach. All right? All right, here's the last one. We're getting ready to wind down. I'm getting excited, but I want you guys to get the motivation. You guys catching the motivation? We have to have the right motivation if we're going to do this journey together. All right, here's the fifth one. We're going to give intentionally. Give intentionally. You know, all throughout the Bible encourages us. Don't just be random in your acts of kindness. Do it. When you do it, connect it back to God. But do it very intentionally. In fact, I would even go so far to say, never do it because someone somewhere showed you a slideshow and appealed to your emotions and made you cry and then begged, right? Oh, please, can you please give me some money? Oh, please, we're trying to do this. Oh, do the best you can. Man, that frustrates me. I got to be honest this morning. And sometimes my own profession embarrasses me to be honest with you. Right? Because the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 9:7, you must each decide in your own heart how to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. So make a decision. You decide in your heart. You must make up your mind. And I'm encouraging you, you make up your mind on what to give and commit to that and give. And God loves the heart of a cheerful giver because you're giving it with the right attitude and the right heart. Don't ever let this church, or any church for that matter, or any appeal or brochure be the reason why you do it. You make up your mind before the Lord and be faithful to that. But when you do it, don't do it reluctantly or with pressure. In fact, the Bible gives us a filter, so go ahead and write this down. This is a filter. Be generous intentionally for eternity. Like, at the end of the day, the reason we care for people is for the opportunity to share the love of God with them. And here's what happens. Anytime you give with the filter of eternity intentionally and you connect it back to the love of God, you're storing up for yourselves treasures as a firm foundation of heaven, right? I want to show you that first verse that we started with, 1 Timothy 6:19. We're going to return to that. This is a different translation, and here's what it says. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasures for themselves in heaven. It is the only, watch this, safe investment for eternity. Right? This is the safe investment. The whole focus of our generosity is eternity. Eternity. I want to invite the worship team forward. We're going to end up closing with a song of praise to God. So if the worship team could come up now, that'd be great. There is one more motivation. Okay, there's one more motivation. I'm going to close with this. But it's one of those motivations that I think sometimes churches and pastors use. And listen, it's not the place to start. That's not where we start. But I'm going to give it to you, and I actually kind of wrestled with whether or not I should give it to you because, you know, people might misinterpret me or misinterpret it. But I'm giving it to you because it's just going to happen, right? It's the reason, but it just can't be the reason why we do it, right? But it's going to happen, and that is if you get involved in this, if you become generous, here's the promise. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Right? Like, he's just going to bless you right back. He's just going to bless you. It's a promise that he makes to you. Here it is in 2 Corinthians 9. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully, the word here actually is blessing. Whoever actually sows a blessing will also reap bountifully or will also reap blessings. Doesn't that just make sense to you? I mean, if you're God, think about it, and you look down and you're trying to touch planet Earth and you're trying to be a blessing and on people's lives, and you're God, right? And you see someone down there showing generosity and really getting after it. Wouldn't you just bless them? Wouldn't you just favor them? Wouldn't you just give more onto them? Just lay it on thick, right? You see, listen, God doesn't want to just give you. He wants you. He wants to give through you.